So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom markups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Tom Lehocky has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
And he says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause, presented by the law offices of Pond Lahaki Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is the Legends of Labor Special with J. Doc and Krause.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a very special broadcast. J. Doc, and to everybody listening, as we come to you from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, our gracious host, of course, Wayne Miller. And what a very, very special broadcast we have, J. Doc, not only for those in attendance today, but also for our listening audience. And I will say this, now that we are 9 years into the Labor Show, with J. Doc and Krause here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. From what I know and from what I've learned over all these years, Pat Gillespie single-handedly laid the foundation for the entire labor community to be at the table. And that's the one thing that has always remained and stayed with me over all these years.
You know, Joe, we have the opportunity on a weekly basis to obviously bring our labor leaders onto the program and demonstrate what labor does for the union community. We're going to have Ryan Boyer in just a minute on the broadcast. And we have Pat's wife, Arlene, and his family here. But one of the things I'd like to say, and we talk about it often, is the Philadelphia union community is the premier union region in America. And the reason for that is our great leadership across the board. And one of the primary reasons, and we're going to talk about a lot of them today for that, is the leadership of Pat Gillespie and the example he set for so many labor leaders, whether they're in the building trades, in the AFL-CIO, and of course on the local union level. We're only as good as our leadership, and largely because of Pat Gillespie, the Philadelphia union community is the number one union community in America.
All right, good stuff, Jay Duck. Good opening remarks. We'll introduce and bring Arlene and Pat Jr. Into the broadcast. We do got a star-studded lineup of special guests that will join us throughout the program. Ryan Boyer, as you mentioned, Jay Duck, Wayne Miller will be with us. Tony Wigglesworth will join us. Bobby Heenan will be here with words for Pat Gillespie Sr., also Butch Bennett, Lisa Dealey, and Jimmy Snell, not able to be in attendance today, but we will, through the power of technology, bring Jimmy Snell into the conversation and have him join to put a bow on this live broadcast. But further ado, man, let's get started. We'll bring in Arlene Gillespie and Pat Jr. Into the program, J-Doc.
Arlene, welcome to the program. It's great to have you, and Pat,
nice to have you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
I know, Arlene, you wanted to read something as we start the broadcast off.
If it's okay.
Please have at it.
Just keep it clean, Ma.
I didn't know what this was, whether you were going to ask me or not, but it's only 6 months since I lost Pat, so, you know, I'm still a little... My emotions are pretty raw, so I wrote down.
Absolutely.
Wrote, yes.
That was great.
Exactly. You know, when you lose your second self, it's hard. So I wrote what our son Matt wrote at the time of Pat's death pretty much sums up who Pat was. And I quote, "In my opinion, Dad was the least racist person on the planet. Sure, he had biases like we all do, but he treated everyone with the same level of sincere respect, but he combined it with a wickedly funny irreverence that had to represent a congenital defect of some kind." Mm-hmm. We all know his middle name was Fun. He treated CEOs and presidents and rich folks, etc., just like he treated the folks working at the lowest level jobs. And he was sincere. He just seemed incapable of seeing one group as innately superior or better. He fought for more minorities in the building trades because he knew it was right and he knew it made economic sense. He seemingly never flinched, not once. It's hard to comprehend how he could have possibly done all that he did. We had no idea about most of this because he never talked about it in detail. He didn't care much about money or recognition. He cared about results and, I think, fairness. He was tough as nails and really funny at home and at work. He came from nothing and seemingly was fully prepared to return to nothing. He lived every day by a code that I'm still trying to unravel. What a man, what a dad. End quote. So, of course, it's no secret that I was his biggest fan. He was the real deal in all ways. He knew that every day the men he represented went to work, they were working their way out of a job, and it was his responsibility to make sure they had another one to go to. He was so proud of all the tradesmen and their masterful skills and professional training that gave Philadelphia its magnificent skyline, and all the other projects, too numerous to mention, that he had a hand in bringing to fruition. Our grandchildren all agreed on the quote that will be written on his tombstone, "The brightest stars are those who shine for the benefit of others." He truly lived his life for others, and I will always be proud to be Pat's wife, and our family is really grateful for this tribute to him. Thank you.
Well, Arlene, we can't thank you enough for sharing that and for sharing Pat with us. Okay. Pat Jr., if you will. That's a hard one to follow.
That's
brother.
A tough one to follow. I mean, if he was sitting here right now, Doc, you know, I think the first thing he would say was, you know, this room is, with the exception of a couple pretty ladies, has a face for radio. he would try to do that. But, just to mirror what my mom said in her statement, and it's my brother Kevin's probably, you know, he'll get a kick out of that because of course it's my brother Matt, the doctor's statement, you know, the favorite. But no, we appreciate, and you know, it's been 6 months and it feels like it's a blank. But I was his wingman, and you know, I'm not in the business, but you know, I had the benefit of being by him and meeting all these guys, and you know, from day one, from Jump Street, you know, 18 years old, going to golf outings and, you know, showing up, stopping at picket lines and stuff like that. You know, you get a real appreciation for, you know, who he was.
Absolutely.
And what he was all about. You know, he's a stand-up guy, you know, and that's what he gave us. And, you know, and it's that's the real gift, I think. You know, people miss out on, you know, what life's all about, you know. And you know, I'm a capitalist by heart, man. I'm a business guy, you know. And I used to drive him nuts, but what he did for us as business guys, he kept us grounded, you know.
Well, what's ironic about that is, and in the trades, okay, you know, he represented all working people, okay, but you cannot have a successful union community without contractors and businesses.
Yeah.
So understanding both ends of that, I remember when I got in the ironworkers and, you know, you kind of think you were born on third base, right? You know, you just showed up, right? Yeah. It's funny, Kevin Boyle, who's the ironworkers business manager now, I'll never forget, we grew up together. I'll never forget going out on a job. We were picketing this job. I think it was like, I forget the name of the job. I don't want to get it wrong. But it was in the far northeast, and Kevin had just gotten into the union 2 weeks before. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? And he's like, and he's already complaining about somebody else doing our work or our benefits. I said, well, we don't even know what our benefits are, and we don't even know how we got it. He was laughing. We laugh about it today. But the point is, have it, you know, leaders like, you know, your father and your husband, Arlene, are the reasons why we have a strong movement. Leadership is the most important thing when it comes to a labor community. And Pat Gillespie, Pat Iding, Ryan Boyer, Wayne Miller here, and a lot of our leaders that there's an example set at the front of the table. I'll tell a funny story about your dad. The first time I was brought in to present PhillyLabor.com to the AFL-CIO, and Pat, you know, my dad was a business manager, so Pat, it was already, you know, going to happen, but I made the gargantuan mistake of reading my presentation. And Pat, after about 15 minutes, he goes, "You done yet?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I got a couple, you know, Mr. Gillespie, I got a couple." And he goes, "You're done." Yeah. He put it to a vote. It passed unanimously, and that was my introduction. And he was always, you know, incredible. You talk about family. I know it's such a big part of his life. But he was good to all of us. And one of the things I'll say to Joe, you know, Joe Krause, well, 9 years ago, when my family was going through it, and we were, and everybody knows what happened to my dad, Joe Krause and I just met, and we were talking about this labor show. And so I said, okay, well, let me, you know, we put everything together. There was two people we had to, we got to deal with the station, all those things, and there was two people that needed to be invited on the show. And I was incredibly vulnerable. Okay, and the first one I called up was Pat Gillespie, and I said, "Pat, we're launching this labor show, and we'd like you to be our first guest." Now, if Pat Gillespie says no, we're not sitting here today. And his answer was, whatever you need me to do. And Pat Iding, by the way, followed with that. Yeah. It all depended on that because I was a mess.
Yeah.
And he showed me strength. So did Pat Iding. And because of that, we are the voice of the on-air voice of labor, and we get to talk to thousands of people on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, about the great things that our labor community does. And that's largely because of Pat Gillespie. And we want to thank both of you and your family for sharing them with us.
Yeah. You opened best with it when you said that he made sure that they had a seat at the table.
Well, Ryan Boyer says that.
Yeah.
And he's going to say it.
Yeah, Ryan knows. And you know, I used to watch it. We used to watch it at home on, you know, in the breakfast room in Havertown. That was the table a lot of times because a lot of deals got done at that table. People would, growing up around it, you know, from the major developments and all that kind of, you never knew who was going to be at that table. That was the table.
I say this, when you look at the skyline of Philadelphia, you should envision Pat Gillespie's face, smiling face, looking back at you, because we all got the opportunities to work on high-rise buildings, and we didn't know why. But now we do. I learned as I went. You're a young apprentice or whatever, but it's an honor to be here.
Special broadcast here from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692. Arlene Gillespie and Pat Gillespie Jr. joining us to kick off. Arlene, let me transition over to you and ask you to comment, if you will, about one word you referenced in your tribute, and that was responsibility. And Pat, your husband had a responsibility to your entire family, to an incredible entire union community, to a city, and to many people that he didn't know. Yet that responsibility was there. Talk about that.
It's just who he was, you know. And he was his convictions were real, and he believed in what he did. He really did. He just went to work every day, like I said, to make sure all of you went to work. That was what...
Well, the passion was there.
It was. He loved it.
Till the day he retired and beyond.
He loved it. He loved it.
The one thing, you know, you'll notice about labor leadership, and it starts right there, is that it's not what they are, it's who they are. Okay? I mean, you know, there was, you know, it's part of... It is part of his fabric with his family, but I get an amazing kind of kick out of the fact that the lives that he impacted, we could never imagine. You talk about the 50,000 person trade unions in Philadelphia, the families and all those things, and fighting and taking it on your shoulders and having great leaders around that table with those other, you know, with the other unions. And we all know it wasn't always pretty and it wasn't easy.
No, it was stressful. He had a lot of stress.
Oh, absolutely. But no question about it. It's because of him. And the honors that we have here, this honor is going to live on in perpetuity. What will happen will be, we're going to have a location, for the Hall of Fame as we continue it. So, and it's going to be something that young labor leaders can look at every day, and they can listen to this broadcast and learn from somebody who made such a difference in so many lives.
Well, Junior, I'll let you go ahead on
that. Oh, no, it's just because I often would look at the buildings as they went up and think, does anybody really realize the talent and, you know, the it's dangerous work and it's beautifully done? And do people really just take that for granted, that it's just happened?
And the fact that Pat fought for safety.
Yeah.
And a lot of programs, like you talked about, obviously, making sure everybody, equality, was a priority, but also safety and those who were in need when, the addiction programs that they have at the building trades, the counseling, but the safety measures when you're on those high-rise jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because they've increased over the years, and during COVID, okay, how the building trades picked it up, and the building trades were the example for OSHA around the country. When Pat Gillespie handed those reins over to John Dougherty and John Dougherty to Ryan Boyer, we were in good hands across the board. So, yeah, yeah. It must make you proud, Pat, because how does it feel? You have the name Pat Gillespie.
Yeah, well, it's fun. Well, come on. You know, it's fun. It's fun. And then it's not fun. You know, baptism by fire. You know, people say, when he did bring it home, as the oldest, I bore the brunt. So you guys are welcome for that. A couple knockdown dragouts in the kitchen, but no question, man. You knew right away
if it was
where you stood.
Yeah.
You knew where you stood. There was no pretense with the guy. Well, that's what was the beauty of him.
Our pastor, Kevin Gallagher, Father Kevin Gallagher, said it in his homily when he was talking about our marriage. He said, when it was easy, and it wasn't so easy to be married to Pat Gillespie.
Yeah.
And I found that humorous, because I thought it was really always pretty easy to be married to him. But I knew what he meant.
My dad was, you know if it was a good day or a bad day. But you know that they're fighting for workers' rights, and every day, somebody's pushing back on us.
Yeah,
and you know, there's a sector of academia that studies labor leadership, okay, and especially labor leaders that are able to impact. Not everybody wants to hear reality. Not everybody. It's not always easy. What's good for a union or a union community, but somebody has to be strong enough to make that decision and have the courage. And so, great leaders, who were around as long as Pat Gillespie, are studied every day.
Yeah,
Pat Gillespie Jr. joining us here, and of course Arlene Gillespie starting us off with a tremendous tribute to Pat Gillespie Sr. For the benefit of the listening audience, we hope that when the broadcast concludes and you listen to the many stories that are told about Pat Gillespie over the next hour, you'll have a better understanding of how great he was. Back in a moment.
Yeah, thanks.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence, completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, Business Manager.
The Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board is proud to sponsor tonight's Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of the late Patrick B. Gillespie, the longtime visionary leader of the Philadelphia building trades. The Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board appreciates their long and rewarding history with the building trades. A world of adventure rich in American history awaits you in Valley Forge and Montgomery County. To discover more, visit valleyforge.org.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, Business Manager. God bless America.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. Today's program has been pre-recorded. This Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction show, honoring Patrick B. Gillespie, is presented by Steamfitters Local 420, Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, IOTC Local 8, Plumbers Local 690, and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board.
And welcome back, everyone, to this Legends of Labor special broadcast as we broadcast you from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, honoring J-Doc Pat Gillespie Sr. And in our opening segment, I think the listening audience, the big, vast listening audience that tunes in to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, started to get an understanding of who Pat Gillespie Sr. was, and of course how incredible it was. And Arlene, with her tribute in the very beginning of the broadcast, is one that will live in the time capsule of life. Great stuff by Arlene kicking us off.
Absolutely. And during the break, Arlene was, and I were talking, and if you would, Arlene, you wanted to comment on something that we talked about in the first set.
Do you remember what
we talked about? You know, apprenticeships and working with our hands, and you were
mentioning. Exactly, and I said, I've always found, from the time I met Pat and all his involvement in his training and whatnot, that there's an elitist attitude out there. If you work with your hands, you're not smart, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, nobody understands what it takes to even pass some of the apprentice exams to get into the programs.
Very, very competitive.
Very competitive. And you have to have an awful lot of knowledge in a lot of areas. And a lot of people don't understand that. Like I said, they look at these buildings and just think they appear?
Yeah, they don't put themselves up.
They don't put themselves up. And all that has gone into that to get to that point.
Well, it's interesting because education today, you know, and the apprenticeships, by the way, and Ryan will, we're going to bring Ryan Boyer in a minute, but we talk about the competitiveness to get in the apprentice programs, number one, the fact that they're not everybody, when you talk about aptitude and intellect and aptitude, is, you know, academia is often set on, you know, being a lawyer or something like that.
That's,
you know,
right.
A lot of people's intellect goes with, you know, with working with their hands in construction. And by the way, a lot of those apprentice programs that we have college courses,
exactly.
And they're paid for by the unions themselves. We don't have, it's not like we go to the government to get subsidized. Yeah. And so that's a great point, well made. And those, you talk about those high-rise buildings. Well, let's look at those cranes taking up those big, heavy loads on a daily basis. And you got the chokers and you got all that, the rigging and all that stuff. That doesn't, you know, you don't have smart people putting that, you know, putting that stuff together. And there'll be steel and concrete all over the ground.
Right.
And so it's a point well made.
I think it's attitudes are changing. I think people are understanding
Absolutely.
That college isn't for everyone, and there is another opportunity for their children.
Well said. Absolutely.
Let's bring in Ryan Boyer, who joins us now as part of the Legends of Labor show. Ryan, thanks for coming out and being here. You had an opportunity in that opening segment, I believe, just to sit and listen to Arlene's tribute and then hear from Pat Gillespie Jr. Oh, some opening thoughts and opening remarks from you, man. I'll give you the open microphone.
It's an honor to be here, and I want to first thank Mrs. Gillespie and the family for sharing your great husband with us. We all know when you're a labor leader, that's the second family, and you were so benevolent in your time and your gift to give us Pat. No better tribute can be said than the letter that Chris wrote. It was just everything that Pat was. I learned more about being a man from Pat Gillespie than a labor leader. It reminds me of the scene from The Godfather. You can't be a man unless you spend time with your family. Pat would always ask me about my family. He would always tell me about his family. And I was remarking to Mrs. Gillespie here, as we navigate turbulent times, it was like a security blanket for me to pick up the phone and tell Pat that I wanted to meet. And never did he tell me no. Even when he wasn't doing well, he would talk to me on the phone for as long as he could to give me advice, guidance, and counsel. And the good thing about that advice, guidance, and counsel, it was never self-serving. It was always, how do I put the mission above everyone? And what's your goal? How do you want to end up, Ryan? What's your end goal? And that advice is sorely missed, the way he brought people together. And I thought the quote was that he did. Pat treated the president of the United States like he treated a laborer. And if you knew Pat, he did not care. If you peed him off, he would tell you right there, no matter who you were, no matter where you were, you always knew where Pat Gillespie stood. And that is, And he brought us, he was a step in the evolution to now the building trades is on just everybody's mind. You take Pat Gillespie, you take John Dougherty. Where they've taken the building trades is in the corporate boardrooms. The capitalist over there, Patrick Jr. I think that Pat in his heart was a capitalist. But he understood that the social contract of capitalism only works when you have an educated and well-paid workforce. Because if you don't, you have anarchy and you have chaos. Right. So at the backbone of him fighting to make sure that we got what we deserved, it was a capitalism, not this vulture capitalism we have now. It's real, true capitalism where we're in it. You put up your capital, you make a little more, but we also pay the workers. Henry Ford type of capitalism, not Jeff Bezos capitalism. That's what Pat fought for.
And Ryan, you mentioned, and you've talked about it often, the saying, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Without a doubt.
And if you heard Pat Iding speak many times about Pat Gillespie, and I know you and John Dougherty have continued this, the importance of encouraging and placing a lot of our business managers and presidents on boards of directors in the corporate legislative boardrooms.
Yeah, boards, commissions, authorities of every type. And also, now, fourth generation tradesmen, their children are coming up well-educated, putting them in the business. So now we have our own lawyers. We have our own finance people that we can understand a complex business deal from the perspective of organized labor and not relying upon their experts to give us numbers and studies. We have our own. That was the marriage between Tony Wigglesworth, Pat Gillespie, and Pat Iding, to bring a big brain University of Penn guy to say, listen, we need you because you're a trusted arbiter, you're a third party, but we trust your numbers. We no longer trust their studies because they paid for them, right? So Pat's vision is going to be seen throughout this Commonwealth. You don't build skylines. You don't have great grand visions. I saw Pat lay out a grand vision to renew every school in the Philadelphia School District. Had they listened to him, we don't have these lead problems we have now. Pat was brilliant because he worked with his hands. Look at the fruit he and Arlene bore. Look at Patrick Jr. Look at Matthew. Look at Kevin. Look at his beautiful daughter, who he loves the most. I know all of you were saying, but his daughter, Colin, was his favorite, period.
Yes, she was.
No doubt.
Yes, she was.
And so they're all brilliant. This is what we bring to the table.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I've heard the same thing, obviously, and I've had the opportunity to speak at the building trades, when Pat, when we had something to promote or whatever, but always heard that family was first.
And that
is such an important part of your foundation as a person, but it says everything about Pat Gillespie. Yeah. And, you talk about his big smile, and it's funny because, Ryan, you talk about his wrath also. I caught that a couple times. Oh. One was when I talked to him. I said, listen, I got a couple more minutes.
But Pat was wickedly funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His sense of humor and the timing of his sense of humor to break the tension in the room, and it is different strategies that you use in negotiations, sometimes to break the tension in the room, to divert attention. I used to read books, and I'm like, this guy is a masterclass in how to deal with people.
Yeah.
He did. He knew people.
How to deal with people, people from every ethnic background, people from every socioeconomic background. I only wish that I really learned how to play golf. He and Wayne would just I would want to be a part of those drives, because my mentor, he didn't fly. So I got a lot of learning by driving Mr. Staten around Chicago, Florida. But I wish I would have had that time in the car with Pat and Wayne, but I didn't golf. And you look at the mentorship, because you're not a good leader unless you leave good leaders behind. So you look at the mentorship of another wickedly smart kid that probably was a little misdirected as a youth, who came up to be, I don't care how controversial it is, we arm wrestle sometime, one of the most brilliant labor leaders in the history of this country, as was Pat, and that's John Dougherty. Look at what they did with Local 98. Look at how now we're on the forefront of everyone.
Absolutely.
Pat Iding, Pat Gillespie, learning how to go into the boards. And it carries on to Butch Bennett, myself, Brian Ettis. We all got that mentorship. Bobby Heenan. We had legendary guys, Sam Staten, legendary guys around that room. And imagine Pat. Right now I have people with egos like this. Pat operated with people with egos like that. And to corral those people?
Yeah.
I pray to Pat every night, like, what the heck did you put me into, man? Some of the guys that Pat was leading became international presidents.
Yeah, absolutely.
So think of the ego it takes you to even say that, look, out of a couple of 100,000 members, I'm the best guy to lead it. He got Wayne. He had Wayne. Come on now.
And having those and Ryan, having those individuals want to be led by him.
Yes. Well, he took you whether you wanted to be or not. I learned that Pat was a forgiveness, not permission type of guy.
Yeah. Well, that's why. And that's, yeah, why I'm,
that's why he was a good Catholic, because he probably went to confessional. He was definitely a forgiveness, not permission type of guy.
Arlene. Well, you know, that dynamic in the boardroom, obviously, at the Philadelphia Building Trades, when you talk about leading the household, how's that transition, in a partnership with a man who's leading, a movement hundreds of thousands of strong, along with in representing the whole movement to boardrooms, presidents, how does that translate to, the home front?
It was never about him. It was really never about him. He was never like that. I mean, he really, truly lived that kind of a life, you know? It was never about him.
Well,
He was fun. I mean, yeah, he was as funny at home as he was. I fell in love with him because he made me laugh, you know? I mean, seriously.
Well, I'll tell you, our movement and Ryan, your words ring so true, and John Dougherty, who we're going to have up in a while, is going to be talked about the mentorship there and having a front seat. It's so important when it comes to handing the baton off to have obviously leaders that had the experience to be mentored and to experience that up front. I know as a young labor leader, when you came in, I mean, it must have been awesome sitting in the room with Mr. Staten. Obviously, you got Tom Kelly, you got John Dougherty, you got all the guys around the table, Wayne Miller. That was like an all-star team of epic proportions who led each one of their own unions, you know.
It is funny. When I first started going to the building trades meeting to represent Sam Sr., I was the youngest guy in the meetings by 15 years and also the least experienced. Now I look around the table, other than Wayne and Pat, I'm one of the senior guys now. And Pat Gillespie means a lot to me personally. When I can get a moment to guard my private time, I guard it jealously. And today is my daughter's 32nd birthday. Thing that made me a man. My grandson turned 4 yesterday. We're having a big festivity, but I said I would not let this day go by. I didn't want to call it in. I didn't want to phone it in, because if you know Pat, when you wanted to talk to Pat about something serious, you had to come to the Havertown table. And he had so much pride in his family and his home and just everything. And I learned sometime by observation. And I just watched the way he moved. And everyone respected Pat Gillespie. And Pat was your friend. He was your friend.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, I can't say enough about Pat and what he's done for the labor movement. And when history books are made, Pat is going to be the start of the new, the Renaissance era of the building trades. Gone are the days where it was total brawn. There's still some brawn, but it was more intellectual, more subtle, more relationship building, more getting at the table at the absolute genesis of a project and seeing it through and having a holistic approach to not just the tradesmen, but the professionals, the finance people, everything, having it vertically integrated, sort of like a corporation. Because I do believe that Pat was a capitalist, but the right type of capitalist, where we have a bargain between the worker class and the investor class, and everybody wins.
Great words, and a great way to end this segment on the Legend of Labor special here as we broadcast from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692. Pat Gillespie Sr. was the business manager of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council from 1982 until his retirement in 2015. Back in a moment.
IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, Business Manager.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. On behalf of the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame members, the late Sam Staton Sr. and the late Wendell Young III, welcome the newest member to the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, Patrick B. Gillespie Sr.
And welcome back, everyone, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT as we bring you this very special broadcast. J-Doc, it's our Legend of Labor special broadcast. We're broadcasting today from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, where our gracious host is Wayne Miller, fitting, I think, Wayne Miller, who joins us now along with John Dougherty on set for our next segment. We're talking, of course, and paying tribute to Pat Gillespie Sr., but fitting, Wayne, that we do the show and deliver this broadcast from here. At the start of the month of April, when we broadcast the show, leading into the All-Star Labor Classic, and I think that Pat Gillespie Sr. and you and John and all that is part of that incredible event starts with Pat Gillespie Sr. And you, so it's nice to have you on. Welcome in.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. There's a lot of things that Pat did, but the All-Star Labor Classic was one of his greatest things. Helping, we started out with United Cerebral Palsy. And it was Pat Gillespie, Pat Iding, Sam Glassmeyer.
Sam.
And one other person that was involved putting that together. And that was brilliant. And that was the building trades charity. And Pat made sure it stayed the building trades charity. And we raised a lot of money, over $3 million or something like that, and we're still doing it. But that was Pat's vision. before I get into other things, is that, you know, when you have these jobs like myself, Doc, and all the other business managers, our families sacrifice a great deal. And from their children to your grandchildren, and, you know, and we could never do these jobs without great women behind us. And Arlene, you're the best. The best. And, you know, one thing is Pat Gillespie was my friend. We had a lot of good times together, Pat and I. But he always looked out for everyone else. He started the All-Star Labor Classic. He started ATAP for people with drug addictions and drinking issues. And Pat started that. And how it was started is that nobody wanted to give anybody a second chance. When you worked in a refinery or things like that, if you tested positive for drugs or alcohol, you were done for life. Life. You never had a job. That Pat couldn't stand that. He couldn't stand for that. And he put ATAP together and had everybody had a second chance to get good. And that is the things that Pat did. And when Pat did things, he did them. He was well thought out of everything he did. You might not have thought that, but Pat was very, very bright. And he would treat, like everybody was saying, he would treat the laborer just the same thing as he would treat a president. And he had no qualms in telling people what he thought. He wanted everybody to be what they were. And that's what he did. He gave everybody their shot. I have a quick story I'd like to tell you, is that when I first started, I came in from the field in 1991, and they were doing the convention center, which Pat was instrumental in getting the convention center. I didn't know Pat. I was a business agent. And when you come in from the field, as Doc can attest, we're gruff, and you don't care about people or anything. When you come in from that field, you're hard. So It was my first 2 weeks in the business, and when I was in the business, I first got there, it was the convention center, and it had asbestos in it. So I said, my people ain't working here. They're just the way it is. They're not going to work on this job. And everybody's saying, who's this guy? We don't even know who he is. So Driscoll and a few other contractors were there. So I told them, it's not happening. He said, well, we're going to get a meeting. I said, well, you can get all the meetings you want. My people ain't working here. So I get in a big argument at this meeting. Well, Pat Gillespie's in the back, but I didn't know he was in the back for years later, you know. And the thing is that, so we start talking about it one day, me and him. I says, you were in the back of that meeting? He says, yeah. I said, well, why didn't you say something? You were the head of the building trades. He said, you were doing good. Why did I have to butt in? That's how Pat was. He gave you your rope to do things. And again, the things that he did for the Philadelphia building trades is unbelievable. They went from being archaic one time after that 60 minutes deal, and then Pat brought it along. He brought along project labor agreements. Nobody did that before Pat. Pat was instrumental. You hear about the Boston Harbor Agreement. Pat was involved in the principles of the Boston Harbor Agreement. You don't hear that. Everybody else takes credit for everything. He's the smartest labor leader I've ever been around. And I could never figure him out sometimes. I would argue with him all the time. I'd say, yeah, I ain't doing that. You know, and the thing is, a week later, I'd say, okay, now I know why he did it, right? And when Pat Gillespie was your friend, he was your friend. You know, like I always say, the Irishman, if they love you, they can justify homicide for yourself. And that's the way Pat was. And it didn't make any difference who you were. And I was in so many meetings with him and different things like that as a doc. And Pat was, he had one thing that he wanted. He wanted everything to be union. And that's it. And that was the issue that he took and went on. As they were talking about with Pat, and when they were talking about the school districts, when they went to Harrisburg, Pat had a vision of building every school the same way. One architect for all the schools. All the lights are the same. All the things, so you can purchase things and do a lot more. That was Pat's vision, and he pushed all this stuff. And again, he he made people in this business. He made me, he made Doc, he made Ryan, and he took care of Sam Staten Sr. like his grandfather. And nobody did things like that. So, you know, when you think of Pat, you think that he's the most fairest person I know. He had the greatest sense of humor. And he really did. He was so funny. And the thing is, he never forgot anybody. He would brag about my grandchildren more than I would. That's how Pat was. He was good to everybody. And he was the most generous person I ever knew.
Wow, great stuff from Wayne Miller. A great way to start awesome. The segment. John Dougherty, let's bring you in and give you an opportunity to, with an open microphone, sir.
Well, I think we're going to have to take a second and let that digest. So yeah. I want to thank both of you for inviting me to the Arlene Gillespie Hour. <You know>? But look, if you listen to the previous speakers, you listen to the family, you listen to Ryan, you listen to Wayne. And by the way, you know, I was literally, you know, I always tell people I was like Ray Donovan between Pat Gillespie and Ryan Boyer. They're so much more, both of them are so much more articulate than I ever was. They have unbelievable control of the English language, and they quote it, history, and a lot of, you know, intelligent people way more than I did. But the one thing that I did with both of them, and I picked it up from Pat, was there's no replacement for loyalty. Okay? You just can't buy it. Okay? You don't eventually learn it. Either have it or you don't. And Pat was the most loyal, smart human being that I ever knew. And Wayne, you know, talked about an awful lot. Pat, I sat with Pat, and everybody has their piece of Pat. I have 20 years of every day, 7 days a week, communicating with Pat. I tell people I'm lucky enough I had not only a father, but a great father-in-law. But outside of them two, it was Pat. I bounced more things off him in my personal life than I did my priest, my in-laws, anybody close to me. We had a Wayne, and you know, everybody knows I love Wayne. I mean, literally, like a brother. We had Wayne, myself, Mikey Farah, Pat Gillespie, Sam Staten, and Mr. Staten's just in a league of his own. There's never going to be another one of him. He was just a classy individual in an environment where it would have been easy not to be who he was. Okay? And I accredit his successes to him being an unbelievable individual, a great human being, a man of faith, but also his partnership with Pat Gillespie. They just juggled everything that was sensitive about the industry. You know, it's easy to talk about all the good stuff, but the good stuff took time and took money. And Pat was able to put a lot of people in a room. I always joke about myself when I started. I had like 7 or 8 international presidents or secretary treasurers in that room. When I walked into the room, Pat Gillespie saved me a seat. Ed Keenan said to me, "Here's the books. You're now the secretary treasurer of the mechanical trades." And I had everybody there. And then they said, "And we ordered food across the street. You got to go get it. And then you have to pay for it. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to drink at Rock Lobster. You're going to come down, get a beer with us, and you're going to drink. And we're going to tell you all about the trades." And in that room was Marty Mataloni, international president. Okay, John Dougherty, the cement mason, international president. Tom Kelly, secretary treasurer. Ed Keenan and Sam could have been anything they wanted. Pat Eating, head of the AFL-CIO, and kind of like a heart and soul of the labor movement for a lot of years. Pat Gillespie was just it. Coryell was a younger version of Ed Coryell, and I can go on and on. Pat Finley, who wound up being an international president, wasn't even in the room yet. Mikey Farah was helping me bring the food back. Okay, so, you know, that's how talented. Wayne wasn't around. It was Jackie was the head of the sprinkler fitters. It was just an amazing group of people. Pat juggled every one of them, unions and egos, masterfully. They should have a course at Princeton or UCLA on the West Coast where people think they know labor. And he used that talent and resource to raise the level of height of for all the buildings. Another masterful performance that he was behind. Now, I wasn't with him when he secured the funding for the Philadelphia Convention Center, but I was with him when he took the lead and saved the convention center. He saved the hospitality industry. And people think that he did it just by restructuring agreements. He did it by having a relationship with Sam Staden, who had a personal relationship with Mayor Street that developed into a personal relationship with Pat Gillespie. And Pat Gillespie wasn't afraid to have John Street, nor was John Street afraid to have Pat Gillespie at their house for dinner. Okay? And in today's world, that don't sound like a big deal. Okay? But that was a big deal someday in this business. You know, your father was another legendary labor leader, and your father had a great relationship with Gillespie. And they beat each other up all the time. Your dad, every building trades meetings that I was present, somewhere along the line, would take a shot at Pat about either golfing or being a Republican or living in a suburb or whatever. I mean, but at the end of the day...
My dad wasn't all that eloquent. Yeah, but he loved Pat.
Well, your dad also had an understanding of what he was doing, and he knew how to get the yes. And Pat taught all of us how to get the yes.
Well, you talked about that group of labor leaders, and I think of my dad, and I got the opportunity to walk into that room way back then. My dad talks about you when you were a young buck, 32 years old, coming in. One of the things that my dad says, and you know, I've been hearing about Pat Gillespie for years before I even, but he talked about the electricians union back when you took it over, and how he said to me many times, people don't remember what difficulties they were under. But what's interesting about that is when you came in, when I think about that group of labor leaders, I think about the leadership it took, because everybody wants something and everybody needs something. Everybody has their own constituents, their own members that are only looking at their own union. And to be able to juggle that talent alone, to lead those men and to get things done when everybody's got their own relationships with their own constituents, is genius. And he did it for so long.
He had long-term relationships and people respected him. He went to the AFL-CIO meetings. Now, on the days where he didn't feel like getting involved in, you know, the inner workings, he had his good friend Tony Wigglesworth sitting right next to him, who basically was responsible for all them inner workings. Okay, and Tony Wigglesworth and Pat had relationships. So when it came time for the convention center, and let me tell you, there were people said, okay, well, you know, you got it. You wrestled with the carpenter, you wrestled with the Teamster, you wrestled. I only wrestled with them because they were taking on Mr. Stater for no reason, because he put the deal together. And at the end, they reneged on the deal. Okay, people don't understand that. Okay, and Gillespie was in the middle of it. But Gillespie, I was doing all the dirty stuff, and Gillespie was outside doing the significant stuff. What he was doing, he was meeting with the food and commercial workers. He was meeting with the hotel workers. He was meeting with all the people that were going to benefit by a re-energized, okay, hospitality community. And his relationships with Lynn Fox and people like that, people will never really document it. But they helped get these deals done. You know, you don't think Pat went to Harrisburg with Freddie DeBona for like 6 months and left Arlene in the kids' home to get a convention center built to have it fall apart and turn into an open mall. I mean, he loved what he did, and he was good at what he did. And like I said, I just think that, you know, because he was so good at letting everybody else, okay, do what they were good at, the people don't understand what a brilliant man he was. Articulate beyond. When he got up and spoke, I used to go like this. Oh, okay. I was just waiting for the next. Now, I was with him for some crazy stuff. Wayne can tell you, we can tell you five or six stories that we're not allowed to say on the radio.
On the radio?
Yeah. Oh, listen.
Or because we're out of time, one or the other.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll wrap that up quick for you. But you got to understand that, you know, an hour would never do any of these labor leaders that you honor.
No.
Okay, enough time. But that man, okay, with what he did, he sat down with Ed Rendell. Wayne was at the table. I was at the table. Sam Staden was at the table. We're at the Palm. We're sitting there. It's like 3:30 in the afternoon. Rendell comes down and says, hey, I want your support for governor. And he says to him, you know, I really don't like you. He said, I know you really don't like me. He said, but you get stuff done. He said, I've had more in common with Bob Casey, and I wrestled with his father forever. He said, but I just don't think he's going to build things like you build. He said, so look, you guys wrestle on the social issues, but you're solid on our issues and you have my support. So he looks over at Mr. Staden and he says, was that an endorsement? And Pat said, oh, and you're paying for the meal, and got up and left. Just like, I mean, here's a guy I wanted to support. You have to understand the magnitude of that meeting, and you have to understand the casual. Look, there was a meeting on Good Friday up in Harrisburg. Okay, we can't talk about Holy Thursday. Pat, just you just have to understand. When the message was being misrepresented, he brought it back, but he brought it back in a fashion where he made everybody stop and really realize who they were. That was Pat. Now, I look at the successes we had. Local 98, when I left, we had the number one assets in the IBW, in the whole country and everything. I would have never had that business mentality if it wasn't for Pat. He used to tell me, get out of the political stuff. You know, they always joke, and Tony will elaborate on this. He wanted us all to be in the boardrooms. But you know how talented he was? He used to tell us it was time to get out of the boardroom. Think about that. Go in, accomplish it, and then get the heck out, because there's nothing good can happen to you after you accomplished your goal or you set the snow, you know, and let somebody else get in there. He was just, look, he was a brilliant man as well as a great family man, and I love him and miss him. And literally, I can tell you, I think about him every single day. The greatest compliment. Look, I was involved with his retirement party, which was one of the best. I was involved with naming the building after him. I've been involved in, you know, I was helping him get dressed to play in the All-Star Labor Classic, and then we talked him out of it.
I used to cut him.
You used to cut him. And look, and I didn't have that type of internal fortitude. If he told me he was playing, he was playing. If he told me he wanted sneakers, I went out and bought sneakers. That was just my relationship with the man.
You know, with Pat, if you said, what was your greatest feat to do that you had come to Philadelphia? Was it the convention center or was it the All-Star Labor Classic? He would say the All-Star Labor Classic because he helped children that needed help. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say I said three people when I was talking before it started. It was Midge Clavin, business manager of Sprinkler Fitters, who brought the girls' team into existence in the All-Star Labor Classic. Sam Glassmeyer, Pat Gillespie, and Pat Iding. I missed that when I was talking, but that's what Pat would be most proud of, because he helped people. And when he did that, he wasn't, nobody was getting in his way to find his goal. He'd walk in a room when we first started. What's the goal? 50,000 next year, 100,000. I said, Pat, you can't make these, you can't meet this. And he says, oh, yes, we can. When we made it, that's the way Pat was. Wasn't he, Doc?
You and Pat together, okay, took that to a level that's way beyond anybody's expectations. And what blows me away is that you and Pat never forgot anybody's name. You know every child, you know every parent, you know everybody that was an administrator, you know, and it was amazing. And everything you did with that group of people, okay, you put smiles on them. You almost have to have. I have somebody with Sealy being in a wheelchair. It's amazing the magnitude and the family and the money and just the heart that you need to have to do that every day. So I have a different look at disabilities today than I had. What you do, I don't think you really even understand. You and Pat Gillespie have been amazing and have taken that way beyond, and you've given people smiles as much as money.
Like Pat says, everybody has to be a star for one day, and them little children that couldn't walk or anything, we had a ritual at the game from Pat would put together. Pat would give you the orders, and you did it, right? So he had a ritual. He says, you got to make these kids feel good. I said, okay. So what we did is we got him into the game, and the labor team was always losing by 1 point, and they would give the ball to Reggie and Will Minch, the kids, and the players would lift them up, and the ball would go in the basket, and the fans would go crazy. And like Pat said, everybody needs to be a star, well, at least once in their life. And them kids were so happy. That's all we cared about, you know. And
Goffin with his grandkid.
Oh yeah, with Patrick.
Absolutely.
Just as long as you put everything out, Pat. Okay.
Good stuff. Great stuff from Wayne Miller and John Dougherty on the Legends of Labor special honoring Pat Gillespie Sr. As John referenced, it's just impossible to do this show, J-Doc, in 1 hour. This concludes hour number one of our two-hour special, the Legends of Labor special, as we broadcast from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692. On the other side, we'll kick off hour number two. Lisa Dealey will join us. Bobby Heenan will join us. Tony Wigglesworth and Butch Bennett will be here and join us as well. We'll also hear from Jimmy Snell. All of that in hour number two of this very special broadcast for the Legends of Labor. Back in a moment.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded. This Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction show, honoring Patrick B. Gillespie, is presented by Steam Fitters Local 420, Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, IOTC Local 8, Plumbers Local 690, and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board.
And welcome back, everyone, here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. But, of course, tonight, J-Doc, we step aside. It's our Legends of Labor special broadcast. We're from broadcasting from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, where Wayne Miller is our gracious host today and delivered a great segment. Thanks to Wayne and John Dougherty for jumping on in our final segment. We're 1 hour into this two-hour special, and it is just incredible, J-Doc, as I toss back over to you and before we bring our next guest in. It's incredible what you learn when you listen to the to those that had joined us in the opening hour, and of course Arlene joining us and Pat Jr. joining us. He was just an amazing man.
Well, you know, you talk about the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, and like we said as we kicked it off, Pat Gillespie Sr. epitomizes the spirit of the words Legends of Labor. And we're ecstatic. It is amazing. You sit down, you listen to Wayne Miller, John Dougherty, and you just sit there and listen, because you listen and learn. Ryan Boyer as well, and of course Arlene, his beautiful wife, and you know, this not a surprise. One of the things I like to do before we bring our next guest in, a little bit about Pat. He was a true American. After high school, he was drafted into the Army, served in the Pennsylvania National Guard. He was a member and eventual officer at Local 542 of the International Union of Operating Engineers. We haven't said this, tonight so far. Member of the PA House of Representatives, state rep, where he served Delaware County residents in 162 District from 1975 to 1977. And, of course, like you mentioned, Joe, business manager of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council from 1982 to his retirement in 2015. I mean, you know, the impact that he's made, and the hat that he wore, the proudest was that of a family man. And so a life incredibly well-lived and the epitome of what we would say Hall of Fame. And so I want to bring in to the broadcast Lisa Dealey of the City Commissioner. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely long-time Philadelphia City Councilman Bobby Heenan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, J-Doc. Good to see you all.
And it's great to have you here, and Pat Gillespie had a special place in both of your hearts, up close and personal. Lisa, if you will share some of your insights.
You know, first of all, I've had the blessing of having a lot of honors in my life, and to be here today with the Gillespie family, and to be part of this beautiful tribute will forever be one of the greatest honors. So thank you all so very much.
Our pleasure.
And, you know, I hear all these great stories about Pat, and I can't help but just think about one of my fondest memories, and that was the Christmas parties that they used to have at the Plumbers Hall, and you had to sing, and you had to listen to Pat sing, and Mr. Keenan, too, who they thought they were great singers. But it was a lot of fun. There were great times, and I just always marveled at Mr. Gillespie's ability, and it's been said so many times, but it is so true, to treat everyone the same.
Yeah.
And you just felt like he got you and he loved you and he, you know, you were his friend. And if you were his friend and he liked you, you knew it. And
Absolutely.
It was one of the greatest things.
And Lisa, was he a good singer?
He was. He was really. He could sing, carry a tune.
Really? How about that? You know, you bring up the Plumbers Hall, and you know, it reminds me of the old softball, the building trade softball league, and I was the coach of the Ironworkers, okay?
This isn't a long story, is it,
Joe? Well, it's not a long one, but when we stopped over to Spike's Trophies to pick up the nice plaque that we're going to present the family, and Pat and Big Ed Keenan would do the banquet at the Plumbers Hall, right? You remember, Wayne, and my dad once said to me, because I was the coach of the Ironworkers, he brought me in and he said, listen, you see that little trophy? It was a third place trophy. The Ironworkers were, and still today, were in that league for 50 years and still haven't won a championship. My dad said, we put $50,000 into that one little third place trophy, and Pat Gillespie and Big Ed Keenan, the way they would set the teams, like if you won the championship, you were at the front, right? At the time, us and the roofer spent the whole time, decades, by the bar.
Closer to the bar.
I remember going to Pat Gillespie going, you think we could change this and kind of mix it up a little bit? He said, you got to win the championship. But, you bring some great memories up. Bobby Heenan, if you would, you know, we know you had a great relationship with Pat Gillespie and a lot of experiences. If you would, your insights.
Oh, look, first, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this honor. Pat was much more than a legend of labor. He was a giant influence on my life. And Arlene, to you and the family, thank you for sharing him with me. You know, one of my only regrets is that I didn't know him earlier in my life and in my career. So he was larger life, and, you know, the opportunity I had to meet Pat Gillespie is because of John Dougherty. John trusted me. I was a young man who had the passion for labor, had the passion for trying to help people out, and loved solving complex issues and problems. And John gave me the opportunity, and because of that loyal with John, all right, Pat just took me under his wing, as I like to say. So I had two incredible, legendary mentors in my life in the labor movement. And Pat is, as John was saying earlier in the first segment, you know, Pat didn't deal with a lot of the, you know, little small political infighting or shenanigans or any of that kind of stuff. He used to send me, right, to go in and do all that while he was flying. He was always 30,000 feet above. Right? He was looking at the big picture. He knew people. He knew, all right, how to break ice in every boardroom and every meeting. He used humor to break the ice. He used his wit. All right, if you thought anything else than how smart and intelligent and how well read Pat was, you lost. He had you. He would sit there doing a Sudoku, whistle, hum, right, and then thinking that he's not really paying attention, or what's he going to do? Everybody's looking to see what Pat's going to do, and next thing you know, he takes command of the entire room, right? And he would say to somebody, okay, that's enough. All right, let me tell you how this is going to go,
yeah.
Right? Listen, this is how we're going to do things, and this is who we're going to help, all right? Because his mission was, how can we, all right, help union men and women, all right, get to the next job? He was always thinking about, all right, the next job, which is everybody's family on that next job. And he was a part of my family, and I was glad and proud to, you know, to have a little open arms for Pat's family and allow me to be a part of it. But he was an incredible man, and he was my buddy. And that's what he used to always say, Bob, as my buddy right there.
What's interesting, having the 2 years up here, right now, when you talk about Pat Gillespie, let's not, you know, politics, okay? You talk about Sam Staten Sr. and Pat Gillespie. We talk about the boardroom, we gained a lot of our strength and influence through the political process, through voting, Lisa and Bobby. I was before my time. But those guys set the blueprint, you know, to have a seat at the table in the boardrooms, but also politically, and the importance of voting and engaging our labor union members to get involved in the process. okay, which is why we're so vibrant. It's why when we speak, okay, you know, people respect, you know what we're talking about and our point of view, and because we care about work and people, it almost goes hand in hand. And we support, by the way, political candidates who support us. Okay, and there was a day when they didn't hold that against you. Having said that, Lisa, talk about that, and because you know you've always had. Support of the building trades, Pat Westby was a big part of that.
Yeah. Pat always saw the undeniable connection between when you vote and what that translates as far as fair work wages, safe places, and how important it was for workers to realize that, their power was in their vote. It wasn't just to come in and vote for your labor leader, but it was also to adopt and to back the candidates that shared your values and that wanted the same things that you wanted, which were family-sustaining jobs, safe workplaces, safe environments for our kids to go to school, to protect our communities. Pat was all about that. He was all about family and community and the connection that has with people who participate in the civic process by voting is undeniable. And Pat really brought that home with the unions and got people involved, not only, you know, in monetary donations, which we all need, but also when it came to knocking doors and talking to your neighbors and talking to your family members and just keep
and your union members
and your fellow union members and telling them how important it is to have a voice and to have that voice be heard at the voting booth. He really got that, and he really pushed that message for years. And I can remember one time being at if Pat was part of your campaign or your movement, you know, it was real. I was at an event once and I heard Pat speak, and it was already talked about so many times about how articulate he was and how he could command a room. He mentioned that someone spoke truth to power. And as I sit here today and listen to everybody talk, it was really Pat who spoke truth to power. And I was just honored and privileged to be in those rooms so many times.
Yeah, and Bobby Heenan, we only have a couple minutes left, but I know we're going to be going to another set, but and we're going to get Butch Bennett up on the broadcast as well. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I want to get a couple things in quickly. One, Pat let us run campaigns, right? He told me one time, he says, you have to wear a white shirt on election day. I'm like, oh, Pat said I got to wear a white shirt on election day. So I went out and bought 5 white shirts, right? Made sure I had a white shirt on election day. To this day, for no reason at all, but Pat was, you know, playing around with me, I wore a white shirt on election day. And what Pat really cared about was playing golf with his grandkids and playing chess. And I'll get to that. I want to end with that. Politics. We ran campaigns, all right, for the right reasons. Pat never forgot if an elected official went back on their word against union labor, he'll never forget that, right? And he told them that. And that's what people respected. You see, I seen him get up and leave governor meetings. I seen him get up and leave a room in the mayor's office, all right, just to prove his point. He was all about the strategy, all right, of working men and women. We were about the, you know, doing the politics or the campaigns of it. All right, he was about the strategy for down the road. All right, and the Pat Gillespie that I knew when I had cancer almost 15 years ago. All right, Pat knows how much time I put into my job, how much sacrifice, because he did the same thing. All right, and he didn't want me to make some of the mistakes that he made. So what Pat did was, while I was recovering, all right, from surgery, he bought me a chess set. All right. And he bought me a chess set because that's what he did with his family. And now my kids play chess, and, you know, I can't even let them win because, you know, they smoke me right out of the gate. All right. But what the power of that is, all right, it brought me closer with my kids, all right, in a time when my family needed it, and I got the opportunity to do that to somebody else. That's the Pat Gillespie, all right, and the giant and the legend of labor that I know and that I will never forget. And he was my buddy. He would always say this: "We are always on the good side of we're on the good side of the angels." All right. And in closing, all right, he was on the good side of the angels were on the good side of him, all right, because he helped out more people than you can imagine.
Well, great stuff. Great way to end the segment. Changing the lives of people we'll never know. Back in a moment.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, business manager.
The Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board is proud to sponsor tonight's Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of the late Patrick B. Gillespie, the longtime visionary leader of the Philadelphia building trades. The Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board appreciates their long and rewarding history with the building trades. A world of adventure rich in American history awaits you in Valley Forge and Montgomery County. To discover more, visit valleyforge.org.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. On behalf of the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame members, the late Sam Staten Sr. and the late Wendell Young III, welcome the newest member to the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, Patrick B. Gillespie Sr.
We roll on here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Special thanks to Bobby Heenan and Lisa Dealey, J-Doc, who joined us in our last segment. And as we move on to Tony Wigglesworth and Butch Bennett, and I made the comment during the break, I'm just a listener today, and I hope the listening audience and the big listening audience on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT knows a lot more about Pat Gillespie Sr. Winning and accepting the award with his family here today. A true, true legend. Legend of labor, for sure.
Absolutely, Joe. It's a total honor to be here and be a part of this, really incredible experience.
Those were Lisa Dealey's words, by the way.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful.
No, absolutely. And welcome Butch Bennett and Tony Wigglesworth into the broadcast. Butch, I'll go to you first, if you will. Insights on Pat Gillespie, if you will.
First off, to the family, I really, really, on behalf of the Philadelphia Building Trades and the Operating Engineers, thank you for letting us have your husband, your father, your grandfather for as long as we did. Pat was amazing. And I sit in a different position because I'm married to Sam Staten Sr.'s niece, and Bobby Heenan was like a father figure to me, Bobby Heenan from the Operating Engineers. So a couple of things real quick. My mother was dying of emphysema, and we had to rush her to the hospital one day. And I couldn't go to work. I was the business agent at the time for the Operating Engineers. And I called Bobby, kind of like I just said, he was a father figure to me. and kind of hysterical, letting him know what was going on. He said, call Pat. The reason why I had to call Pat was because she had been in emergency for like almost 24 hours and they didn't let her get into a room, which was unheard of. I made a call to Pat. I'm going to say it was probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. I think about 8:35, they were taking her up to her room. And I couldn't, I didn't know, and I don't want to get emotional because my mother's been gone for 20 years now, but you still don't get past that. I just never seen anything like that where he had the compassion to help me. And I never forgot that. It's nothing that I wouldn't do for Pat or his family today. Pat also, Wayne brought up the All-Star Classic. And I remember getting the calls from my business manager saying, Butchie, you got to make sure you go to the meeting. I said, yes, sir, I have it. Get a call from Pat. Butchie, you better be there and you better take a picture. I said, yes, sir, I have it. After the meeting, Pat will call me. Were you there? I said, yes, sir. You know I was there. So Pat was always in my head. He was always with me. And I just want to share this with the family. So whenever I go to work now, of course I go into the building that's named after him. But I was telling Pat Jr., if you come into my office and you sit at my desk, you look forward, there's a picture of Pat, Bobby Heenan, and Joe Dock looking at me. There's a picture of Pat on the right side of my wall. There's a picture of Bobby Heenan and Sam Staten behind me. I even told Joe Dock this. I strategically place these pictures in my office to remind me every day to do what's best for the members that we serve and try to make those gentlemen and those legends happy as I can. So they're with me every day. Every day. So if I can do this job and make Pat and Bobby and Sam happy, I've did my work. And he's also showed me how to be a family man with my family. So, yes, I spend a lot of time with my family, both families. But, yeah, Pat was he was just the best. And a lot of times we don't know that we're in the presence of greatness because we take it for granted. It's just every day. But no, awesome. He is a giant. Trust me.
Awesome. And by the way, the Joe Dock he was talking about wasn't me. He doesn't have a picture. Butch don't have a picture.
It's a father. It's his father.
Thank you, Butch. Incredible. Tony Wigglesworth, if you will.
All right. First of all, thank you very much for allowing me to do this. I had the honor of knowing Pat Gillespie for almost 40 years. 30 of that as a very close friend. Ironically, our paths crossed much before that. I cast my first vote when I was 18 for Pat Gillespie in Delaware County.
Wow.
There are three things that I think about when I think of Pat. The first is family, and we've talked about that a lot here. Every conversation I had with him over the years had to include a family update. He was blessed with a family that gave him a great deal of joy. He had a daughter that he adored, a son in Matt that he admired. But knowing Pat, he had to fight. So he had two sons that were given to him so he could fight. Pat Gillespie also was the most loyal person that I've ever been around. He taught me loyalty. And it started with loyalty to his wife. I know of the Pat before Arlene. And that Pat was a different Pat that we all got to know. And we're all better for having had Arlene in Pat Gillespie's life.
That's awesome.
There are a lot of family people and a lot of loyal people. But Pat's unique gift, I believe, was his force of will. I have never seen anyone able to will something into existence. He would think it. He would say it. He would work it, and it would happen. And sometimes the best way to appreciate that is to view it through the eyes of an outsider. So I'm going to take a real quick imaginary trip. A conventioner to Philadelphia flies into an airport an airport that quite honestly was built through Pat Gillespie's legislative acumen. They get on a train run by SEPTA that only exists because he lobbied for a very unpopular gas tax in order to fund SEPTA. They arrive at a commuter tunnel. The commuter tunnel was Pat's first success as head of the Building Trades Council. Unthinkable for a declining and dying city at that time. They travel to a convention center. In that convention center, they sit in rooms that were built by Pat Gillespie and legislated through Harrisburg on behalf of Pat Gillespie. They are served by staff who would not be there but for the intervention of Pat Gillespie and making sure that the convention center works. They leave in order to go out to dinner, and they see a skyline that Pat Gillespie was uniquely responsible for. They dine in restaurants that are there because those buildings are there. And maybe if they're lucky, they get to go to a Phillies game or an Eagles game in houses that were built by Pat Gillespie. And if they don't like that stuff, they have the Kimmel Center to go to that he lobbied through with his not-so-good friend Ed Rendell and created the Avenue of the Arts. That's the legacy of Pat Gillespie. There is a sub-Saharan tribe in Africa that believes that no one is truly dead until people don't speak their name anymore. Pat Gillespie's name will be spoken time and time and time again. Will not see his like again.
Great stuff from Tony Wigglesworth and Butch Bennett. Just incredible. And as we go to the break, we use radio sometimes as theater of the mind. And even though we are, we'll have a video version of this broadcast, use that theater of the mind and imagine being that visitor to the city that Tony just described. Tony, well done. Great job. Great stuff. Butch
Incredible.
Bennett, don't ever put J-Doc's picture up on your wall. Keep it on your desk, will you, brother?
Yeah.
Back in a moment.
IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence, completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, Business Manager.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. This Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction show, honoring Patrick B. Gillespie, is presented by Steamfitters Local 420, Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, IATSE Local 8, Plumbers Local 690, and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board.
And back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, our special Legends of Labor broadcast today from Sprinkler Fitters Local 692. J-Doc, I've never seen, I know you're an emotional guy and you've been very emotional throughout the entire broadcast today. Just really inspiring, and my hope is that the listening audience, the big vast listening audience here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT now has a sense, or now has
of the magnitude of Pat Gillespie.
As Tony Wigglesworth described brilliantly in the last segment, just really, really good stuff. stuff. Jim Snell from Steam Fitters Local 420 was not able to physically be here today, but as he said to me yesterday when we were prepping the Legends of Labor broadcast, Krause, there's absolutely no way that I cannot somehow be part of the broadcast because he could not be here. Jim Snell, we are so glad to be able to bring you in to put an exclamation point on what has been an incredible 95 or 98 minutes, whatever it has been. Jimmy, welcome in, sir.
Krause, thanks so much for allowing me to call in. And J-Doc, sure. I say it all the time, you know, I just want to thank you guys for giving us this platform. You know, it's phenomenal what you do, especially today. I mean, this is just a great thing, honor, and, you know, a legend, Pat Gillespie. You know, I want to say good morning to, you know, Pat's wife, Arlene, and the Gillespie family. I'm sick to my stomach that I'm not there in person. But I'm actually at my daughter plays soccer for Eastern University, and they have a soccer banquet this morning. Like I texted young Pat, I said, who the hell has a banquet on a Saturday morning? But yeah, that's why I'm calling in, and I really do appreciate you allowing this. And yeah, I mean, what's there to say? You know, Pat Gillespie, the guy was a living legend. You know, and for someone like me, you know, I was just some steam fitter, you know, over the years, and you know, always heard about Pat Gillespie. But once, you know, I was able to get into this position as a business manager, you know, the advice, the guidance, you know, the friendship that Pat gave me, forever be thankful. You know, it just missed the guy. I know we all miss him dearly, and. You know, it's just nice to be able to basically thank his family for lending Arlene, thank you for lending us your husband, and the Gillespie kids, thanks for lending us your dad for all these years.
You know, Jimmy, we talked about the leadership in the Philadelphia building trades and our union community here and how the bar was set high. You know, as somebody who came in obviously, those are standards that you and you know, Wayne Miller and all of our business managers, try to hold up high every day. What does it mean to you, and what is it like to come in and to understand that standard?
Look, I've said this before many times on the show. For a young guy like me, when I took over, so I followed my predecessor was my dear friend Anthony Gallagher, who's big time now, right? He's down to UA, and we're all, and I know Pat was extremely proud of Anthony. And, you know, look, I can speak for Anthony. I mean, once again, the guidance, the friendship that Pat, you know, gave Anthony, that's why he's down there. You know, Pat, Anthony, you know, did his best to emulate Pat and took Pat's advice. And now Anthony's down to UA and where he should be. Okay. And we're all very proud of that. But, you know, when I took over, here I am sitting in this room, you know, with Pat Gillespie, Joe Ashdale, Wayne Miller, John Doherty. I mean, I'm probably missing a few others. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I can't, you know, this is real, you know, this is real. And there's legends in this room. And you know, Pat Gillespie led these legends, you know. And I think somebody mentioned it recently. And, it really gets you thinking, Pat had, I guess, about maybe 8, 9, or 10 business managers that worked under him that became general presidents, right? You know, in their various international. I think that just speaks just so much to Philadelphia Building Trades, which was led by Pat Gillespie for 35 years, you know? So just to be able to pick Pat's brain and ask, what would you do here, Pat? What do you think about this? And look, I'll be very honest with you. I took over April 1st of 2019. Finished out. That's when Anthony went down to the UA, and I finished out Anthony's term. Then I had an election beginning of June. Right after that election, PES Refinery, you know, blew up, And that was just devastating for the building trades, especially my local union. And trust me, I had Pat on speed dial there. I mean, you know, he talked me off the ledge a few times, to be quite honest with you. But I'll never forget what Pat's done for me. And you know, we all miss him, and we all tell funny stories. There's a million Pat Gillespie stories, and it always puts a smile on our face, you know, when we hear these stories. So,
great stuff from Jim Snell joining us here as part of the Legends of Labor special for Pat Gillespie, and putting an exclamation point on what has been an incredible day here at Sprinkler Fitters Local 692. That's going to do it for this edition of our Legends of Labor special. On behalf of the entire Gillespie family and on behalf of all of our guests who were part of this special, J-Doc, a big thanks, shout out to Frank Keel, who helped put all of this together. I get to say this for just one last time. On behalf of Jim Snell, on behalf of my co-host, J-Doc, and all of our listeners, see you next time, everybody.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.